Adjutant General of Indiana's National Guard, and I will provide an update on what we know at this moment, real time, regarding Camp Atterbury being selected as another temporary home and processing center for Afghan evacuees. But first, I did want to say a word or a few words about one of our Hoosier own, one of America's finest and forever best, Corporal Sanchez from Logansport, who gave his life so that we and others might enjoy the sweet taste of freedom. And just 22, Corporal Sanchez, the man in receipt of orders, stood in a very dangerous gap and leaves citizens like us forever in his debt. And we must never forget and always remember, always honor his legacy and vow to be there for his now Gold Star family in the days ahead. He served so that the very evacuees who will get off the plane, tired, off balance, psychologically strained, hungry, dealing with health issues, maybe with only a backpack to their name, little money, if any, so that maybe they could enjoy and appreciate that very same peace and security that we do right now here at home. So to Corporal Sanchez's family, we vow to be here every day forward, and we keep the family in our prayers as well as the 12 others, men and women in uniform, that we recently lost as Americans, and the over 2,000 over the last 20 years who gave the ultimate sacrifice for us. All the wounded warriors out there who left pieces of their body and soul in a war-torn country on a battlefield far, far away between good and evil. And again, we're a patriotic state, and we will prove it in the days going forward. Yesterday morning, we were in receipt as well, officially, as was our congressional delegation, being notified by the Army North Command that up to 5,000 Afghan evacuees will be making their way to Camp Atterbury for a matter of, as has been described to us, for a matter of weeks, not months. And I'll ask General Lyles to provide some detail about what we've been informed over the course of the last week, really 2 weeks, in conversations, questions that I had directly to Homeland Security, the answers that we received, and more since a couple days have now passed since then. But if you could, General Lyles, if you would go over, you know, the basics, but, and we can get into detail, the when and how active duty will be arriving, Army active duty will be arriving in a supportive role, the when and how the evacuees will arrive at Camp Atterbury, how many that we know of right now on the roster, men, women, and children, when we will know that, ultimately, how they are all being vetted, what their status is at various times, including their mobility inside the wire or inside the gate and ultimately outside. If you could cover, this is a lot, I know, and I'll help. If you could cover the, not just the vetting, but then the testing, the vaccination process, what services are we as a state going to be in our supportive role to our federal partners on the hook for? What's it cost? Who pays? The dual status relationship now with General Winslow. And then, I promise this will be my last thing, but then finally, and this is something that I'm really proud of, we have been overwhelmed by, I see Allison Barber here, we have been overwhelmed by Hoosiers who are rushing forward to say, how can I help? And we want to make this as efficient as possible in that process. And so whether it's the Red Cross or a church or an individual, we're not looking to gather my old clothes, even though I think that might help. There are ways to make a significant and profound difference in someone's lives, but it has to be orderly, and that's part of our mission. So I saw you taking notes and writing down words there. So if you could just kind of give us an update on where we are now that we have confirmation, and then we'll open it up for questions.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Governor. Appreciate the opportunity today to provide some information on where we are right now with Afghan evacuees. Before I get into that, I'd like to talk a little bit about Camp Atterbury. You know, not a lot of people know what Camp Atterbury is, so let me describe briefly what Camp Atterbury is. Camp Atterbury is 46,000 acres of federally owned property, for the most part, and federally supported, whereby National Guard, Reserve Unit, active duty units can train for their wartime mission. It's also a place where we use our restricted airspace, our air gunnery ranges, and other things to do testing and evaluation for military purposes. It has the capability of housing over 10,000 people, soldiers usually, in dorm-like barracks that are supported by world-class dining facilities, as well as a medical treatment facility that is actually there at Camp Atterbury. It is also supported by 110 state employees that are federally reimbursed, their salaries are, and then we have a garrison command down there that makes up about 220 soldiers that work either full-time or part-time at the facility. Camp Atterbury in the early 1940s mobilized over 100,000 men for World War II and then supported their return and their medical status through the Army hospitals that were erected there. Camp Atterbury also was a site for World War II prisoners from the Italy campaign following the war for a temporary period. Some of those prisoners actually settled in the United States. And Camp Atterbury has mobilized over 120,000 soldiers in the last 12 years for different in support of our federal mission. Camp Atterbury is well prepared. It's got the right facilities to conduct this temporary mission, and we have the right processes in place to do this mission and to do it right. And so where we are right now is this. There are individuals at a point of debarkation throughout Europe and the Middle East that are being vetted through a multi-agency, multi-layer, multi-dimensional process that includes our agency partners from Homeland Security, the Department of Defense, the Department of State, the FBI, and the National Counterterrorism Commission, as well as other intelligence partners. They are there now vetting everyone that is leaving the point of departure in that region. They will then be cleared to fly to the United States where they will enter a point of embarkation, and then they will be vetted again through these same processes to validate all of the things that were discovered before they came here and to further set the conditions for the types of visas and or credentials that they hold. Once they pass through that screening process, then they will come to Camp Atterbury, where they will go through a reception, staging, and onward integration process that then puts together a deliberate, detailed, and thoughtful process of vetting done by Department of Homeland Security, Customs and Border Patrol, FBI, and the Department of State. They will also, during this period of time, be screened medically and be held in a medical hold status for what we think will be about 14 days to determine their medical condition. So that status will be determined through that 14 days by our interagency partners. Their medical status will then be determined as well. And we have, right now, coming to Camp Atterbury, our partners from Fort Hood, over 800 soldiers coming to Camp Atterbury that are a organization of military police, a very robust package of medical augmentees to include physician's assistants, nurses, and medics. We will also have an enabler package that will help us with life support packages and logistical sustainment of the evacuees while they are at Camp Atterbury. We have identified where there may be potential gaps by the Army and by the Indiana National Guard, and we are contracting with the Army Sustainment Command to fill those gaps where there might be weaknesses. So, for example, one of the things the governor charged me was to pay particular attention to what pressure we might put on agencies outside of Camp Atterbury. In light of the fact that we are having a higher positivity rate in COVID, we understand that emergency room wait times are higher than normal. We do not want to pressure local hospitals. We have also partnered with the local community, the Edinburgh Police Department, Columbus Police, Johnson County Sheriff, and others, to build a partnership to understand what security concerns could potentially arise and how we might react and anticipate those concerns. So we have set the conditions with the enabler package. That is an active duty package. It came with an active duty general. And because of that, in our partnership with the National Guard, we are appointing a dual status commander down there, Brigadier General Tim Winslow. He will be the dual status commander that will be responsible for oversight of all the activities at the facility. I feel very confident in the enabler package that they are sending us, that we will be able to accomplish our mission in a very robust manner. Additionally to the Fort Hood battalion that is coming to us, Army Medical Command at Fort Knox is also sending a medical package up to help us with the medical condition and screening processes that will go on with the evacuees. So what happens once they come to Camp Atterbury? Once they arrive at Camp Atterbury, that's where they will be put into the RSO process, reception, staging, and onward integration. That process will greet the evacuees, and then we will put them through a series of medical screening requirements that will be done by our medical enabler packages, as well as our partners from Department of State, Homeland Security, and Citizens and Immigration that will be on there as well to continue the vetting process. We have identified potentially a cohort of evacuees that may have COVID. So they will receive three COVID tests en route to Camp Atterbury, one at point of departure in Europe or the Middle East, one when they hit the point of entry at either Dulles or Philadelphia, and then again at Camp Atterbury by our medical providers. Additionally, if there are signs or symptoms of COVID once they arrive, we will be able to test and treat them accordingly. And we have predetermined sites for quarantine or isolation, things of that sort. So we have been talking with Fort McCoy and Fort Pickett. I was on the phone with the Adjutant General from Virginia this morning, getting lessons learned. They've been doing this for about 10 days now, so we have some lessons learned from them. How long will they be at Camp Atterbury? And so this is what we believe is unfolding now, and this is in concert with our discussion with the Director of the Homeland Security personnel. We believe that there will be what I would describe as a 14-day process, about 14 days of a medical screening process once they land, once they come to Camp Atterbury. We will do that. They will also then be a vetting process that will determine what status they are in, and commensurate with that status will determine their ability to leave Camp Atterbury. The Director of Homeland Security described it as, once we get through the medical screening process, single-digit weeks, the non-governmental organizations who are already calling and we're already synchronizing that effort will come to Camp Atterbury, and dependent upon their visa status and where they are in the vetting process, will then resettle them throughout the United States. And so that's what we think will happen once they come to Camp Atterbury, once they go through that medical process. Single-digit weeks is what's been described to us. We are fully capable of going beyond that if it's necessary. Right now, our planning assumption is to plan for 5,000, and Camp Atterbury is well-equipped to do 5,000. We think they will start flowing sometime later this week, maybe early next week, still to be determined. As in regard to COVID, we are very cognizant of the pressure that we could put on the local community because of COVID. So we are very aware of COVID, and I will tell you this. I've been at the hip with Dr. Box since March of 19 and Governor Holcomb, and we have been responding to COVID in a very strong manner since that date. We've done everything from food banks to testing to vaccinations. So we have a pretty good handle on what to expect with COVID, and we're going to be able to leverage that experience over the last 20 months to be able to help with any COVID outbreak. And some of the questions are, can they leave Camp Atterbury? That is all determined upon their visa status, which is determined by our interagency partners. So depending on what their status is will determine on how the non-governmental organization comes in and takes them and actually helps them get resettled in the country. So that will determine that. I'm looking to see if I missed anything that the governor outlaid was cost. So there is no burden on the state for this. This is a complete federal mission. And so the federal contracting that's coming in is coming through a variety of agencies. There is funding from the Department of State. There is funding from from Department of Homeland Security. And there is all of that money is being sent right now through the Army Budgeting Office. It has been made readily available to Camp Atterbury, and we have no issues right now with the funding that's coming in order to do this. As far as donations go, there has been an outpouring of donations that's beyond belief. It truly is amazing that all of the Hoosier care and kindness that's on display right now really makes me proud to both be a Hoosier and an American. And so we are in the process of setting up a formal method for receiving donations and then processing those donations, inventorying them, and getting them into the right hands of the evacuees. That process is still emerging. However, today you can call the Indiana National Guard 317-247-3559, and Ms. Laura Martz will take your information and take your efforts to help. And then once we build this apparatus to help with this outpouring of kindness and love, we will make sure that we get your information into the right hands.
Will you repeat the most popular Laura's phone number in the state
yes.
of Indiana again?
I will. 317-247-3559. And she is there and ready to take your information and to help put this into a database that then we can get it into the right hands of the right organizations that will lead the effort on donations. The other thing that I want to talk about a little bit, and Governor, you may want to amplify this, is yes, Camp Atterbury is a temporary facility to house evacuees that will be processed by national non-governmental organizations for onward integration into America. But it's deeper than that with this governor. He asked me, what can our state agencies do to help beyond just the Army processing? The Army reception and staging and onward integration plan. How can BMB help us? How can we be kind to these evacuees to repay them for what they paid for us for over 20 years of support in our fight against the Taliban? How can the Department of Health leverage their refugee directorate to help? How can FSSA help? So we're going to explore that, and we're going to deepen this cause, and we're going to try to help then become assimilated into America and to become Americans just like the rest of us. I think I learned a long time ago, sir, if it's more than three tasks, I got to write them down, and I think I got them all. So, yes, sir.
I think you did. Happy to open it up for any questions, but I think the three key words is this is a mission, time sensitive, it's a process, and it is temporary until it becomes not, until it becomes, as you just alluded to, this outpouring of Hoosiers who want to help, whether it be churches, individuals, businesses. I can't tell you how many businesses have said, when can I start hiring? And this day will come, but we've got a mission to complete before we get there. With that, I'll open it up to any questions you might have.
Eric Berman from WIBC.
Oh.
Thank you. Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
What is, in it, two questions. First one, though, what is Indiana's capacity and willingness to accept evacuees on a for permanent residency as opposed to the temporary housing?
There's a process that has to be conducted first and foremost, and as General Lyles just stated, we want to be there on the back end of that process to welcome these evacuees to permanent freedom. And you know, little did I know when I started talking about our mission, our efforts ongoing to be one Indiana for all, that it would expand my initial definition. But I do believe that folks will fall in love with Indiana as much as we have. And I hope some of this talent stays close, understanding that many of them will have familial draws around the country. And so that's where the NGOs become really important, and our state will be there as part of the process.
Second, if you'll allow me to go off topic for a second, you have an executive order expiring today. You said you were talking.
Oh, that's right.
I'm sure it's in the date book notifications.
Walking and chewing gum.
What's the status of that? And if that's still pending, can you elaborate on what you're discussing with the healthcare stakeholders?
Well, it's pending, but for not very long. It will be hot off the press, so to speak, in a matter of hours.
Can you elaborate on what's being discussed to shape that?
We just want to make sure that to the extent that the state can help hospitals in this latest surge, that we're there. And we want to be smart about it. And we don't want anything to be counterproductive or overlook anything. And so we took time to sit down, huddle up, and bought a few more days. It'll end up not being that 48-hour period, but it'll be out on the street shortly, and I don't think you'll be surprised by anything.
Thank you.
Next is Rob Burgess from the Wabash Plain Dealer.
Hello, good to be with you this morning.
Good morning, Rob.
Morning.